have with us Dr. Zindoga Bungu and his lovely wife, Dinah. Dr. Bungu is the director of the Mashoko Christian Hospital and Medical Ministry that's located in Zimbabwe, Africa. They operate a ministry there under the motto of "We preach, we teach, and we heal." I love their mission statement. Their mission statement is this: Mashoko Christian Hospital exists to preach the gospel to all who come seeking treatment of their physical ailments while providing quality health care to them. This is an amazing ministry that they do. They've been at it for many, many years, serving faithfully there. They provide medical care to over 60,000 patients per year. They also sponsor training and education for new nurses and doctors. They develop churches and leaders across the land of Zimbabwe, Africa. And I always enjoy, Dr. Bungu will tell me every time, you know, everyone who's ever trained and everyone who's cared for at Mashoko has the opportunity to hear the gospel message. I appreciate your heart for ministry, Dr. Bungu and Dinah. You know, you're not Utica Church of Christ here. We've been a longtime supporter of the Mashoko Christian Hospital and Medical Mission. We do, because of your generosity, our mission committee is able to send $300 per month to the team. Also, 2 years ago, our church's sewing ministry made over 100 dresses for children, and we presented that to them at the International Convention on Missions here in Columbus. And I don't know, Dr. and Mrs. Bungu, how's 100 more dresses sound to you? I got a dress here. I need to brag a little bit about our sewing ministry. Here's the dresses that they provide. And if you don't mind, I'd like to brag a little bit about, we have so many things that go on here behind the scenes that a lot of us really aren't aware of. And we have a sewing ministry here that started perhaps, I don't know, three, four years ago under the direction of the late Pat Mansfield. We miss her sorely. And she came to us, you know, as an elderly woman from Kentucky, and down there she had a sewing ministry where they would sew dresses and clothing for unfortunate, you know, underprivileged children across the globe, for that matter. And so that's a ministry that they've continued, you know, since Pat's passing. Sherry Arnold is now the director of that, and I'd like for all of those of you that are on that sewing team, if you would, to stand for a minute. They include Colleen Fry, Nicole Stevens, Marsha Hoskinson, Kelly Bosart, Tina Pargin, Elaine Smith, Pat Mitchell, Loretta Krigo, and also Jane Sinan. If you'd stand, yeah, right? Well, then maybe not, right? There you are, okay. Yeah, they're here. They supply hundreds of dresses a year throughout the years. Also, they also have a quilting ministry. And they provide quilts, wheelchair-type lap quilts, you know, to shut-ins and also to patients in nursing homes across the county. They've given out so far over 26 beautiful quilts, many of them with the Buckeye, you know, Buckeye logo on them. So we appreciate the work that you do. And you know, the Bible says that we become partners with those whom we support financially. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your," and here it is, "because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And Dr. and Mrs. Bungu, we are honored to be partnering with you and the great work that you do and the team over there in Zimbabwe in furthering the gospel of Christ. So with no further ado, I'm going to invite Dr. Bungu to the platform now and hear a message from the Word. Dr. Bungu, let's give him a hand as he comes.
My wife and I are very happy to be here. This church has supported us for ages. Of course, at first, I was coming because of Bill and Loretta. I used to help them milk their cows on the farm many years ago. And then when they came from Milford and came to this church started supporting us. So we have been together for many years, and we thank God for that. And we want to be thankful for the dresses. My wife and our daughter-in-law went to the primary school and gave out dresses to kids. And some of those for the ones who have just been born were given to maternity ladies. We want to thank you for your support. In case you won't be available for our presentation, we want to thank you, and we want for you to know that we love you as our partners. We are going to sing a song in our language, which is Shona. But it says, the Holy Spirit of God, stay in this house. Come down with your power. Come down, the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, which looks like the shining of the sun. Show us the way to the Father. The Holy Spirit of God, we are lost. Come down and show us the way. So even though you don't know Shona, but at least you know, you have heard the words.
Chosen the fastest one. No, while I'm approaching the gate, I would say, oh yeah, this one here, yeah, this one. And I spent minutes and minutes when others are just passing through. And I think I'll need some teaching on how to choose the correct one. But this is how it is in life. God said in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroad and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I read a story which was said by a Kenyan politician. Please don't associate it with the campaigns that are going on here. But this politician said that one man died and went to God in heaven. And God said, oh, you have come at a good time. We are not going to decide for you, but you either choose heaven or you choose hell. This time, these 3 days, it's your choice. So, spend a day here with us. Then go to hell and spend another day. Then make your choice. So, this guy spent the day walking in heaven. He saw Jesus, he saw the angels, and they were just floating around. They were singing nicely. And he spent a day and he said, okay, now let me go down to hell and see how it is. And he went down to hell. There he expected to see the devil with horns and a tail and a fork. But he didn't. He saw people who were eating meat, who were eating all kinds of things, and who were singing and enjoying. And he said, Is this hell? And he enjoyed more down there. Then he said, okay, I've seen enough. Let me go back and tell God my choice. So he went up to heaven. And while there, he was told, okay, give us your choice. He said, here you are very nice. Yeah, but I didn't enjoy that much. So I've chosen hell. And you have chosen hell. And he said, oh, yes. They said, okay, go to hell. The door is open now. Go there. So he went. When he got to hell, as soon as he came out of the elevator, he saw the devil now had horns, now had a tail and a fork. And the people who used to eat meat the other day were now crying. And there was a big fire. And he went to the devil and said, sir, didn't I see you here 2 days ago? He said, yes, you did. But you didn't have a tail. You didn't have horns. He didn't have a fork. What's happening? That's why the next words are the ones I said, don't associate with what is happening here. And the devil said to him, oh, yes, you saw me here the other day, but we were campaigning. But my point is not about campaigning. My point is that this person did not ask God to say, I'm at the crossroads, which way should I go? Instead, he asked himself. He leaned on his senses and he chose hell. So forget about the campaign. I'm going to talk today about being at the crossroads. What crossroads are we facing in life? We have come to the crossroads when we come to a time or place of decision making. we have come to the crossroads when we come to a time when one is hearing conflicting voices and advice. We have come to the crossroads when there's a time when one is facing problems in life. This is a time when a family, a community, a country, or nation is facing problems. They would have come to the crossroads. When you come to a time of disease and death, as a family or in a family, we have come to a time of crossroads. Are there examples in the Bible of people who had people or families who had come to the crossroads? Yes. If we read from Exodus 14, we won't read, but from Exodus 14 is the familiar story of the children of Israel going away from Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea and they met the crossroads there. Which way should we go? But they did what I want to urge you to do. They went to Moses and say, Moses, look back there. Look at those clouds of dust. The Egyptians are after us. Which way should we go to cross this sea? And Moses went to God. And God said, lift your staff over the waters and they will part. And you and the children of Israel can pass on dry land. And that happened. Now came the Egyptians who had not approached God. They came and they were all sunk in the Red Sea. The main point is that when we come to the crossroads, we need to approach God to say, which way should we take? Yes, there is another one, which is found in Psalms 143, verse 8. When my papers fell, this is not the one. I'm sorry to delay you. David said, show me the way I should go, for unto you I lift up my soul. When we are at the crossroads of life, we are supposed to approach God and say, God, show me the way, and he will. Yes, there is another example in Psalms 25, verse 4, when David again approached God and said, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. He had come to the crossroads and he approached God and God showed him the way. Why did the Lord say in Jeremiah, we are at the crossroads? Why? We find the answer in Jeremiah 16, verses 11 through 12. Those verses say, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have gone after other gods, and have served and worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And because you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his stubborn will, refusing to listen to me. I don't know about here, but in Zimbabwe, the churches of Christ and Christian churches have come to the crossroads. We have divided. One group that pushed for the split started loving money more than God, and fame more than God. So instead, they said, Zimbabweans are used to chiefs and herdmen and lifelong presidents. So why don't we? We are not Americans. Why don't we? Let's write a constitution of the churches of Christ and Christian churches in Zimbabwe. And they did. And now, that faction is led by a countrywide president who rules with a committee. If a minister at a church misbehaves, that goes to head office. If elders at a certain church don't do their work well, it goes to the president of the country, and you are called there to answer for that. There is half which said no. The head of the church is Jesus, and we will follow what he says. We will ask him for direction if we have come to crossroads. My friends, remember to approach Jesus, to approach God when you have come to crossroads. I've heard here in the United States that things have happened slightly too. They are now mega churches. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I've heard is that ministers or pastors are now the it. They are in, not in smaller churches, but in mega churches. Money is the it, and God is no longer the center. Those people have come to the crossroads. Many churches, like I said, of the ones in Zimbabwe, have deserted the doctrine of the restoration movement. Churches of Christ. They have come to the crossroads, and the answer has been me, what I want, what we want, what gives us fun. That's what we should take. Also, our children have come to the crossroads, and they have not looked up to God, but they have looked elsewhere. They are of the generation of saying, follow your heart. But your heart is not God. And truth is what you make it. Not what God makes it, it's what you make it. And because of that, our children have gone into drugs and drunkenness. They no longer listen to elders. They feel they are the brightest. They feel they are the strongest. Everything is me, I am here. You'd find you go into the street and somebody is standing there like this, and you think he just is trying to show off. No. It's stuck there the whole day. If you don't come and assist, that person will be there for 12 hours sticking like that. And they love it. They love it. And they would kill for it because they've come to the crossroads, and there they have not chosen to ask God for the right path. I hope we will choose the right path. The ancient paths that God is talking about are the ways or the paths of God, the ones that have been proved to be safe, the ones that have been proved to lead you to heaven. This takes me to the verses that talk that are in Matthew 7, 13, 14, which talk about the wide and narrow way. They say, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Are we going to find the narrow gate? Or are we going to be taken by the majority, by the wave that goes through the wide road? Many churches are in the category of the wide gate. As I said earlier, they no longer follow the doctrine. It's too confining to them. They want to please everyone, and by so doing, they are going against the Bible, thus choosing the wrong way at the crossroads. Also, just because a certain path seems right does not mean it's the right one. This is where our children fail, because certain things look right. Our children, as I said earlier, think because the way of the drugs looks and feels good, then it is the way to go. They may go for days without eating because their brain tells them that their stomach is full when it's not full. Some of the drugs they take make our children feel strong and intelligent. They feel so, but they are not, because there is no such joy, no such path at the crossroads except what God has shown us. I want to go into conclude my message by saying, we must ask God to show us the way to follow in life, because we are at the crossroads, believe me. Our children must ask God to influence their activities because they are at crossroads. Our churches must ask God to guide and direct them in how to worship Him because they are at the crossroads. That is why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. We should ask Him for the correct way to the Father. If we do that, we'll be saved. But a lot of us do not. When we come to crossroads, we say, oh, I have the money to get me through. I have the influence, my friend is so-so, to get through. Our friend, our chief advisor, should be God. Isaiah 48, verse 17. So our last reading says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." So my friends, my point today is to say that, like it or not, the world has problems. Families have problems. But the answer is with God. And only if we put God at the head of our family, at the head of our community, at the head of our nations, will we survive as nations and as individuals. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because you are our God, because you are the one who shows us the correct way for our lives to be saved. We thank you that you have led all these people who are in here to this room to worship you. May you be with our families, with our friends, and with all those we work with, so that we all know that to succeed meaningfully in life, we have to approach you because we are at the crossroads. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate Dr. Bungu coming and sharing from his heart like that. When I saw him drop his notes at the beginning of the message, my heart went out to him because I've been in that situation. I'm so old. I remember back, I used to write my sermons out by hand on a legal pad, and I had my notes one time, and I was speaking very early in my ministry days at a church, and they invited me to come and to speak, and our daughter at the time was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And they had us to stand, and they had us to come forward, and they prayed over Terry and me as we were starting a new church plant. And as they were praying, I could hear papers shuffling. And while I was praying, my 6 or 7 year old daughter at the time decided to shuffle my notes. She had my notes scattered all over the pew. And so from that day forward, man, I write my page numbers. So. But no, I appreciate so much, Dr. Cumming. You know, the Bible, there are a lot of crossroads. There are many. Many times throughout the scripture that places people squarely at a crossroads, particularly as it pertains to our salvation. The very first day of church as we know it was on the day of Pentecost. It's recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. And Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried. He rose on the third day to purchase our salvation. That put the nation of Israel, the Israelites, right squarely at a crossroads. And Peter stood and he preached Christ and him crucified for the very first time and presented him as the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could come to the Father but through him. And then he pointed out his conclusion. You think I get hard on you sometimes. His conclusion to his sermon was this: I think this Jesus was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, this Jesus whom you crucified. That put him at a crossroad, wouldn't you say? And they cried out at that crossroad, "Brothers, what must we do? I mean, how do we right this wrong? I mean, how do we accept this Jesus?" And Peter simply said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, and all who are far off." We are those who were far off that he's speaking to there.